Good afternoon, all, and Merry Christmas to you. We come now to our gospel lesson, which is Matthew's telling of the story of the birth of Christ. He begins this section by saying, "This is the birth of Jesus the Christ, how it came about." So we read from Matthew chapter 1, beginning in verse 18, and especially we listen for the names in the Christmas story, the Christmas names and the grace that is in there. In their names for us. Hear now the word of the Lord. "Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.' All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, 'Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel,' which means 'God with us.' When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus." This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray together. Oh God, you make us glad by this yearly festival of the birth of your only Son, Jesus Christ. Grant that we who joyfully receive him as our Redeemer may with sure confidence behold him when he comes again to be our judge. He who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Well, Merry Christmas to all. I think about names around our Christmas traditions and tales. Frosty the Snowman, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, right? The Grinch in the stories and the films that we love. Sort of those are animated ones, right? Often we think about the stories around Christmas that have human characters in them. Kevin McAllister in Home Alone, Ralphie Parker in The Christmas Story, right? Ebenezer Scrooge in The Christmas Carol, and on we could go around that. Even Buddy the Elf, right? With Elf and Will Ferrell playing that role. When we move to sort of from traditions and tales to the concrete, I think in my family story about two, in my mother's family, here's my grandfather's robe, the Baptist preacher in South Carolina that I wear every Sunday and every day, even on Christmas Eve. And I think about two of his three daughters, my mother who was born on Christmas Eve, my aunt, her older sister, who was born on Christmas Day. Their third sister was born in August. I don't know what happened to the flow of things there. But I think about Blanchelle and my aunt and Ruby Jo, my mother. And this is the second Christmas where we're without my mom, and we mourn her loss and that she's not with us. But you get even more real, more concrete when you come to these characters in the gospel narrative themselves. In the first Christmas, Luke tells us about Zechariah, the priest, and Elizabeth, his wife, who have not been able to have children, and how an angel comes to Zechariah in the temple, and how he's struck mute because he doesn't believe that God will give them a son, John, to pave the way for the coming of his cousin, Jesus. And we have the angel Gabriel coming to Mary and announcing what's going to happen, that the Holy Spirit will give her a child, that God will come upon her and bear this child who is God in her womb, fully man and fully God. We hear the angels singing on the Christmas Eve night, early Christmas morning, right? We see those shepherds running to go see the Christ child. All of those names are there in Luke. Matthew's story is a little less known to us. It's sort of the complementary story at Christmas, and we come to it this year. But there's great grace in Matthew's names, in the names he places around his Christmas telling. And let's just walk through those names and hear the grace and receive these gifts of Christmas. The first name there is Holy Spirit, of the third person of the Trinity, who's told by theologians there's been a love between the Father and the Son eternally existing that has been known before time and through time and beyond time that is so palpable and strong. It had to be a person. It had to be a third member of the Trinity, God the Holy Spirit. And God the Holy Spirit is the one that we often forget at Christmas. But he comes and overshadows Mary, as Luke says. He comes, as Matthew says here, and by the Spirit, she will conceive Mary to have this child who will be Jesus, who will be God with us, Emmanuel. The Spirit gives this birth. It's amazing. Why is this so important? Yes, to fulfill prophecy from Isaiah long ago that a virgin would bear a child miraculously, and he would be Emmanuel, God with his people. But it's more than just fulfillment of prophecy. It's crucial to our whole hope of this good news of Jesus Christ, that he is fully human, born of a human mother, but fully God as well, born of the Spirit, born of the Father, as being God and fully man. And yet also in his humanity, not being tainted by the ordinary generation of sin and brokenness and fallenness passed on from human fathers, because God is directly his Father. And so he's fully human, fully God, and in his humanity, there is no breach, there is no brokenness, there is no sin, there is no scarring, there is perfection. It's so crucial. Now, let's just find the grace in that, first of all, because we realize that it is the Spirit who, yes, has to create all this life of Christ and Mary, in the same way it's the Spirit who creates our faith into Christ to find our lives hidden with Christ and God. If we are a worshiper at all around the cradle that is going to lead Jesus to the cross, it is only because the Spirit draws us in. It is only because the Spirit forms faith in us and then the very life of Christ in us. We are all in some ways shadows and adumbrations of Mary herself. The Spirit grows the very life of Christ in us. Not just a faith to find salvation in him for us, but his life formed in us by the Spirit. So if you come, like this Christmas, maybe from a hard space tonight, maybe you're like I am, like we are in our family, maybe you've had a great crisis, like we have with Fran's stroke, maybe you have some kind of medical issue of that like that, maybe you have a long-standing burden of loneliness and brokenness in all of your relationships, maybe you're in a financial crisis, maybe you just feel dead to God. And all of this story, the present of Christmas is to cry out for the Spirit to move in you, to awaken faith in Christ in you, the very life of Christ in you. If you have a longing for that at all tonight, the smallest inkling of that, it is a marker often that the Spirit has already begun this kind of awakening and growing of a life of Christ in you, or renewing it in you. Cry out to him. Beg him to renew you this Christmas. That's the grace in the Holy Spirit. Secondly, consider the grace that's there for us in the name of Joseph, who's the earthly father of Jesus the Christ. Joseph is this kind of, you know, forgotten character. If the Spirit's sort of the forgotten person of the Godhead, Joseph's the forgotten person for most of us around Christmas. But Matthew focuses on Joseph and looks at his willingness when he doesn't understand much at all. He's going to put Mary away because somehow she's pregnant and they haven't come together. They haven't become man and wife. They haven't shared intimacy, but somehow she's pregnant and he's going to put her away quietly with honor and kindness and justice and mercy, right? But he has a dream. And the angel of the Lord comes. God speaks through his angel and says, Joseph, don't do that. And don't be afraid, Joseph, to actually take Mary as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. And you're going to have a son, my son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And Joseph wakes up from that dream and does it. I just love Joseph. He's this tender, strong man who's kind toward Mary before he knows all that goes on, and then follows through on exactly what the angel of the Lord tells him. Later in the next chapter, we'll find him protecting Jesus and Mary as they flee to Egypt away from Herod's brutal, murderous mentality, trying to chase down the Christ child when he hears about them from the wise men, right? I love Joseph. He just steps forward. He leans in and he follows what he knows. That helps me so much in this season. When I'm so confused, when I don't understand, why has God brought this stroke for Fran into our family, into our existence? I know you've got the same kinds of questions. Why has a parent died? Why has a grandparent died? Why have things not worked out in my business, in my school? Why am I so stuck in my walk with God? We step forward by faith with the word that God gives us to trust Him, even in this space, and see what He does. I love Joseph for this. I love Joseph even more because he is willing to be not the central character in the story. I am constantly craving in whatever story I'm in, I want to be the center. I want it to be about me. I want it to center around me and revolve around me. And Joseph just says, that's not the way. And he frees you. The gospel through Joseph just frees you from having to be the central character, even in your own life story. You know, I played 3 years of junior high school band. Music is a far better place that the trombone is now apart from me. Was never any good, but boy, did I play loud. Boy, did I play loud. Trombones and loud are not good. Maybe in a jazz band for a moment, right? You are a complimentary player. But man, I thought I was the central player. And when we do that in life and not realize that life for us, the privilege is to see Jesus at the center. And we're sort of revolving around the periphery of that and watching and moving and responding to Him. When we do that, there's such joy and freedom in that. I'll never forget my oldest daughter's coming in tomorrow night. They've all changed plans to kind of be with their mom more around this Christmas, and she was to be in other places with her family and her in-laws, and they've changed, and they're coming in tomorrow night. Can't wait to see her. And she told me at the beginning of 2025, Daddy, this is my resolution this year. I do not want to be the central character in my own story anymore. I want to let Jesus be the central character. Man, do I love that. She's embodying Joseph there. May we do likewise. There's the Holy Spirit gives us grace. Joseph's story gives us grace. Mary gives us grace here. I love how Mary is so front and center, and she shows us what it means to trust and to follow and to speak words of faith, hope, and love over in Luke's gospel. You get all the big picture of Mary there. Matthew sort of is very lean on Mary. And what Matthew shows us through Mary is what it means even before we're a Joseph and we are a follower and we are an actor in response around the periphery of things. Mary here is just a receiver of grace. The Spirit comes upon her. Joseph is willing to respond to her and take her in rather than put her away. The child grows in her and comes forth, and the child is named Jesus, and she's not even directly a part of that here. We got the strong Mary in Luke, the central Mary in Luke. In Matthew, we have the Mary that is showing us the first action of discipleship is simply receiving grace, taking it in. Your great privilege at Christmas is to take in the grace. God has come for you. The Spirit moves toward and in you. Revel in that. Celebrate that. Rest in that. The Holy Spirit, Joseph, Mary, Jesus. What does the name Jesus mean? a very common Hebrew name, a name we find scattered throughout the Old Testament, listed more as Joshua in the Hebrew. But the name for God, Yahweh, God save, God deliver. So when God comes among us, when God is born through the virgin's womb by the action of the Holy Spirit, we are privileged to call out the name of Jesus. God, save through Jesus. God, deliver me through Jesus. And most of all, God, through Jesus, deliver me from my sins. Their guilt, yes, the punishment that is due me. May this child be the one who will grow up to take my punishment. May I find covering and hope in that. But may I be delivered from my sins in all kinds of other ways. The shame of them. The control of them. The dominance of them. See, you can have the fullness of the freedom of guilt tonight and every day and every moment of your journey as a Christian. But the release from shame and the renewal of life and the breaking of the bonds and the change, it comes over time. It comes across your whole journey. Christmas keeps giving to you in that way through Jesus. Every one of us comes here tonight with a different kind of brokenness, with a different kind of pain and scarring from sin that we've committed and sin that's been done to us. It reminds me of the neurological recovery center Fran's been going to. She's gotten the privilege to do 4 days there. She has several more days coming. We hope she gets to do more there in the new year. And every person there has some kind of brain trauma through a tumor, through a stroke, through an injury. And they all have different symptoms from that. Some can't walk. Some are immobile. Some are like Fran and have speech issues or cognition issues. Some are dealing with occupational therapy issues. Some are dealing with even sort of knowing exactly who they are and what everything is all about. I love the staff I've met there. I love all the clients I've met there. They're so courageous. They're so hope-filled. They're all different, but they're all looking for healing. They're all looking for deliverance. They're all looking for a salvation, to be mended, to be brought back to something that they've known before. We're all in different places. But when we take this name Jesus on our lips, we're all saying in our various ways, God, save me here in this sin, in this brokenness, in this sin done to me, in my shame, in my guilt, in my desperate need for renewal. God, save. Holy Spirit, Joseph, Mary, Jesus, lastly, Emmanuel, another name for Jesus, God with us. The prophecy from Isaiah that the virgin would give birth miraculously to a son, and he would be called Emmanuel, God with us. In Isaiah, there was a fulfillment in part of that back in the days of Isaiah's prophecy, but here it is hundreds of years later with the fullness, with the overflow of that fulfillment. Here is God himself come. Friends, let me tell you, as I'm going to go home tonight, I couldn't buy any presents. I haven't bought any present for a child or grandchild. There are no presents under our tree. There is not going to be the great meal tomorrow. I don't know what Christmas will hold. Don't know. But what I know is this, is the great treasure, the great present, is God is with us in Christ. That is the treasure. So if there are many presents under your tree, or few, many family gatherings tomorrow, or few, many joyful moments ahead, or few, around this holiday, God promises to be with you in Jesus. And wherever those dark places are, whatever those hard spaces are, God is with you and he will not abandon you. And he will bring saving mercies to bear to you. Why did God become man? That's the famous question Anselm asked 1,000 years ago. Cur Deus Homo. Why did God become man? To reveal his presence with us. To wrap himself in human flesh, not to hide himself like we do with our wrapping, but to reveal himself as the God who would humble himself to tabernacle among us so that he can bring salvation to us everywhere we are and everywhere we go. Merry Christmas to all. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for the grace we've pondered and heard in these names tonight. May Holy Spirit, you cause it to take root in us for the first time or a deeper, fuller way for the nth time, Lord. Come, encourage us with the gospel of Christmas. Please, Holy Spirit, come. Give us faith, hope, and love in Christ afresh. We pray in his name. Amen.